All right, let's take our Bibles tonight. Psalm chapter 33. Psalm chapter 33. As I was praying about what to preach, and I didn't want to just, you know, pull out any old sermon and preach anything. I wanted to preach what the Lord had for me to preach. And I got to thinking about this passage, and got to thinking about a very famous verse in this passage, verse 12. And you know, this is July, of course. I love the patriotic theme. Amen. In fact, I kind of went all patriotic tonight myself. You know, red, white, and blue. Got my patriotic tie on. And I got to thinking about America. And you know, folks, it's easy to look around and see the negatives of our country. It really is. And you know what? We have them. Amen. Let's not sugarcoat it. We have them. And truth be told, we're a wicked nation. Right? But you know what? If we're not careful, we get so down on that stuff that we don't look around and realize still how blessed we are, amen, and how good God is still to us. Why is America still doing what we're doing? Because of the mercy and grace of God. That's the only answer, amen. And I don't know about you, but even through all of our faults, I'm still glad I woke up in America this morning. Amen. Amen. I'm still glad I get to live here and do what God's called me to do here. My opinion, America's the greatest nation on planet Earth. Amen. If we're not careful, though, we start getting this jaded view of our country, and we see the problems, and we kind of concentrate on the problems. But you know what, folks? Hey, if we're still here, God's not done with this. Amen. And I don't know what the long-term plan is. I'm not God. But all I know is while I'm here, I want to do everything I can to be the patriotic Christian for this nation God wants for me to be. So I'm going to preach to you for a few moments tonight on this subject, why I still love America. Why I still love America. So if you find your place, stand with me together. Psalm chapter 33. Let's read verses 1 through 12. The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with psaltery or an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, to make the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." And look at verse 12. Here's our text verse tonight. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Let's pray. Lord, we sure do love you tonight, God. Lord, we sure are thankful, Lord, the way you love us and care for us, God. And Lord, we thank you for allowing us to live in this great country. Lord, we understand, God, that we do have things that we need to confess about, Lord. We have things that we need to repent over, God. We have things that, Lord, no doubt are a dishonor and a shame to you. But Lord, thank you for allowing us to be Americans. And Lord, I pray tonight as we look into your word for a few moments that, Lord, you re-stir in our heart, rekindle, God, our love and patriotic Christian duty to our country. I pray you'd bless us now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I realize the verses we just read were referring to the nation of Israel. And I do not believe, nor does the Bible teach, what some people refer to as replacement theology, where America replaces Israel. That's just simply not the case. But we do see in verse 12 a principle about God and the blessings of the Lord that's true for every people of every nation. You know, throughout Scripture, it's plain to see that God chose the nation of Israel to be his chosen people, a people that experienced him in a way that very few people as a whole experienced him, a nation that, when obedient to God, were the recipients of his blessings and bountifulness in which he showed his favor and goodness. No doubt, God chose the nation of Israel to be his people. Now, fast forward some 3,600 years. And you find something else taking place, something which no doubt had the provision and protection of Almighty God. It began with a group of people known as the Pilgrims, who for the purpose of religious liberty left England to pursue the right and freedom to worship God without the fear of persecution. Some 100 people set sail from England on that famous ship called the Mayflower in September of 1620. That November, that ship landed on the shores of Cape Cod in present-day Massachusetts. And here's what those people declared before they disembarked into the new land. and the Mayfire Compact. In the name of God, amen. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, defender of the faith, having undertaken for the glory of God an advancement of the Christian faith and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia. Those were the people that came and were the beginning of the founding of this great country. So you can see from our early history, even before we were established as an official nation, that our roots were founded in God and His Word. Amen? So yes, we can clearly biblically say that God chose Israel as His nation and His people. But when it came to the founding of this new nation, we can say this, that America chose God. America chose God. And you know what? Despite what's going on in our country, despite the wicked leadership that we seem to have in place, you know what, folks? I still love America. Amen? I still love America. I'm going to give you three reasons tonight why I still love America. Number one, I still love America because of the price that was paid. The price that was paid. I don't know what you think of when you look around and see those flags and how they're so beautifully displayed around the room and then behind me there on the platform. I don't know when you hear the national anthem and songs like America the Beautiful and Oh Beautiful for Spacious Skies. I don't know what you think or what you feel when those songs are sung, but when I see that flag and I hear those songs, I can't help but think of the price that was paid for us to live in this great land and enjoy all the things that we enjoy living in the good old U.S. of A. Amen. By the way, the red on that flag means something. It means something. Hey, we just talked about the pilgrims and that came in 1620 in search of religious freedom. You realize more than half of the English settlers died that first winter as a result of poor nutrition and housing that proved inadequate in a harsh winter weather. And not just our early forefathers, but if you begin to look at all the wars that were fought that America had a part in, you know what you start seeing addings up? You start see what it added up is what that red on that flag represents. How the blood of patriots helped form this country. The American Revolutionary War, 25,000 patriots gave their lives. The War of 1812, 15,000. The Mexican-American War, 13,283. The Civil War, man, this is hard to even imagine. 655,000 Americans gave their lives. Spanish-American War, 2,446. The Philippine-American War, 4,196. World War I, 116,516. World War II, 405,399. The Korean War, 36,516. The Vietnam War, 58,209. The War in Afghanistan, 2,216. The Iraqi War, 4,497. Present operations, well over 100. That brings us to a total of over 1.3 million Americans who shed their blood so that we can sit here and enjoy what we enjoy tonight. You know, that's why I kind of get aggravated when these overpaid divas get worshipped and they want to bow a knee to our flag and to our national anthem. By the way, that ought to bother you, amen? That ought to bother every red-blooded American that loves their country. Now, folks, I'm going to say this. I love America. I still love America because of the price that was paid for her. Number two, I still love America because of the foundations that were laid. The foundations that were laid. Despite what all the liberals and God haters try to say about our country, we were founded upon the one and only true God of the King James Bible. Amen. I got a book here tonight, and it's called One Nation Under God. I don't even know where I got it at. But as I was preparing for this message, I found the book on my bookshelf in my office. Probably came from my grandpa's library. Before he passed away, he was a preacher for his whole life. He gave me his library. And it probably came from there. And just a small little book, but gives some quotes and some philosophies and some things that our early forefathers said. How about this name, Samuel Adams? He was known as the father of the American Revolution. Samuel Adams organized the famous Boston Tea Party. By the way, study our history. Do you realize that we rebelled against England over a 3% tax on tea? Right. Yeah. Yeah, come on. I wonder what our forefathers would be doing if they were alive today. I guarantee they're rolling over in their graves. Amen? Right? 3% tax. Samuel Adams. He formed the Committee of Correspondence, which organized the colonists to actively resist the authority of the British government. A cousin of John Adams, Samuel Adams, was a signer of the Declaration of Independence and called the First Continental Congress. Here's some things that he said. He said, the right to freedom being the gift of the Almighty, the rights of the colonists as Christians. Amen? By the way, not Muslims, right? Not Buddhist, not atheist, Christians. May be best understood by reading and carefully studying the institutions of, capitalized, the great lawgiver and the head of the Christian church, which are to be found clearly written and found throughout the New Testament. Amen? As the Declaration of Independence was being signed in 1776, Samuel Adams declared this: we have this day restored the sovereign, capital S, to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come. Amen. Amen. That was one of our founders. The Continental Congress was the original 13 colonies of what would be later become the United States of America. And it was established to resist the unfair tax practices and tyrannical laws and policies imposed upon the colonies by Great Britain. And here's what one of the things the First Continental Congress said. The Congress desires to have people of all ranks and degrees duly impressed with a solemn sense of God's superintending providence and of their duty devoutly to rely on his aid and direction, do earnestly recommend Friday, the 17th of May, be observed by the colonies as a day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that we may with united hearts, listen to this, confess and bewail our manifold sins and transgressions, and by sincere repentance and amendment of life, appease God's righteous displeasure, and through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, obtain this pardon and forgiveness. That's what our First Continental Congress said. Amen. Before they got together to come up with and sign that beautiful document known as the Declaration of Independence. And on we could read. How about this name, Alexander Hamilton? Alexander Hamilton was a signer of the Constitution and one of America's most preeminent founding fathers. He was the author of 51 of the 85 Federalist Papers, which powerfully made the case for ratifying the Constitution. He was Secretary of the Treasury in George Washington's administration. Shortly after the Constitutional Convention of 1787, here's what Hamilton stated. For my own part, I sincerely esteem it a system which without the finger of God never could have been suggested and agreed upon by such a diversity of interest. Alexander Hamilton regularly led his household in family prayer. He also wrote about the important connection between political freedom and Christianity. Here's what he said: I have carefully examined the evidences of Christian religion, and if I was sitting as a juror upon its authenticity, I would unhesitantly give my verdict in its favor. I can prove its truth as clearly as any proposition ever submitted to the mind of man. That was Alexander Hamilton. One more. I could read these all night, but we won't. All right, one more. Patrick Henry. Amen. Patrick Henry was a famous revolutionary leader and orator. Patrick Henry, of course, said what he's famous for saying, give me liberty or give me death. But you know what? He said a lot of other things too. Yes, sir. He said this: it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship here. Amen. And that's just a sampling of of our American foundations that was laid for this great country. Is it no wonder they're trying to revise our history books? Is it no wonder they're trying to bring in this wicked, humanistic, godless, perverted curriculum into our public schools? Amen? Listen, they don't want to have to admit that that's how America was founded on. Because here's the thing, if you start admitting that America was founded upon God, then all of a sudden, you know what? It starts making people think, maybe I'm accountable to God. Amen? And by the way, when you realize you're accountable to God, it changes our wicked, perverse living. And you know what? America doesn't want to think of those things, so they try to revise history. I've been to Washington, D.C. I've been there several times. I've traversed the city. You know what you find all across Washington, D.C.? Etched in granite all across the city, you find Bible, amen? By the way, you find the King James Bible. right? Right under the Washington Monument, in its in the stone which it was laid, the foundation stone. There is, of course, a copy of the Constitution. By the way, not just a copy of the Constitution, but also a King James Bible. Amen. Literally, it's all across Washington, D.C. I've been in the room of the House of Representatives where those where our leaders go and begin to make policy and begin to vote on things. And I've been in that room. It's a sacred place. It's sacred. In fact, not a lot of tourists get to go there. The only reason we were able to go in was because we had a representative that was able to get us to go in. In fact, we were there on a midnight tour. And we were there and we had a prayer meeting there. We knelt on those benches where those lawmakers sit. I personally was sitting in one of the benches where one of the Supreme Court justices sit. And we sat and we had a prayer meeting and prayed for our country. By the way, I think I've told you this before years ago, but it's interesting. All across that room is the heads, the granite heads of different lawgivers out all throughout history. As you and you look around the perimeter of the room, you see the fact that those lawgivers are facing each other. But on the very back wall, right out as the speaker stands behind the podium, that means every president that stood behind that podium, every speaker that stands behind that podium, when they look at that back wall, just like I'm looking at the back wall, about where that clock's at, there's one lawgiver that's staring them in the eye. You know who that is? That's Moses. Amen. Moses was the most important lawgiver. By our own founders realized that. Amen. And every time that president stands up, you know who's eyeballing him? A replica of the face of Moses is. Amen. As a reminder of how America was founded. And so folks, listen to me. I still love America. Amen. I hope you do as well. Why? Because of the price it was paid. Number two, because of the foundations that were laid. Number three, I still love America because of the opportunities that are made. Listen, where else can you go and have the opportunities you have in America? I mean, listen, again, I know we're not a perfect nation, and I know we have our problems, but give me America over any other place on this planet. By the way, let me just say this loud and clear. Capitalism is not our problem. By the way, people that say that's the case, it's amazing to me. They want to enjoy the fruits of capitalism. They would never want to go live in a socialist country, but yet all of a sudden they want to down capitalism. Amen? Are you kidding me? That's what made this country how it is. That's why we have the things that we have, and that's why we live like kings compared to most of the world. By the way, again, if you think socialism's a good idea, then just chase it through history. Look at countries like Venezuela, who used to be a prosperous country when it was capitalistic, by the way, and then a dictator got in power and squandered the wealth of the nation. Now people can't even hardly eat there. Well, what a shame. That's what socialism will do to a country. Listen, folks, we are very blessed as Americans to live in this capitalistic society. By the way, study our history. Socialism was tried by the Pilgrims when they first came over. And you know what they found out real quick? It didn't work. William Bradford realized it was a flawed system, and it made strong men lazy, and it decided, you know what, instead of making everybody earn their own way, people had an entitlement mentality. You know what they realized real quick? This isn't working. So you know what they did? They decided to, hey, surprise, surprise, let's follow the Bible plan. Amen? If you don't work, you don't eat. And before long, guess what? Food was plenteous. Industry was beginning. And the foundation was laid for the capitalistic society that we enjoy today. By the way, capitalism in America has brought some pretty amazing inventions to the world. Now, I have a list of A through Z. I'm not going through them tonight because we'd be here all night. But let me give you a couple of them, all right? Aerosol paint. How about this? Air conditioning. Amen. Aren't you thankful for that? An airbag. The airplane. Maybe we're not so thankful for this. The alarm clock. Amen. All right. The artificial heart. Asphalt shingles. The assembly line. ATM safety pin software. Barcode reader. Ballpoint pen. Barbed wire. Breakfast cereal. Bubble gum. Bubble wrap. Bulldozer. Cable ties. Calculator. I like this one. Candy apple. Amen. Candy corn. Carpet sweepers. Carter's little liver pills. Cash register. Clothes hanger. Clothes pin. Coca-Cola. And my personal favorite, the Colt 45. Amen. And that's just a list of A through C. And listen to me, folks. I'm not just talking about monetary opportunities. I'm talking more about spiritual opportunities. To know and worship God without fear of persecution or arrest. Nobody had in your mind one thought tonight about, I wonder if I come to church that the government's going to break in and arrest me and take me to jail. Nobody thought that. I guarantee you this, other Christians thought that this week. all across the world.
That's right.
Amen. And you know what, folks? God has blessed us with spiritual opportunities here. And you know what? I'm afraid sometimes we get used to it. We take it for granted and we squander it. You know, in America, you can own and carry and have as many copies of the Word of God as you like because of the opportunities of America. And on the list could go. Amen? So I still love America. You know why? Because of the price that was paid, because of the foundations that were laid, because of the opportunities that are made. Now, folks, along with these great freedoms come great responsibilities. And let me say this. Christians, as Christians, we have a patriotic responsibility to our nation. And let me say this. America is worth fighting for. Amen? Ronald Reagan said this. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. Let me just say this. As Christians, particularly as Christians, when God looks at a preserving nation, a factor of a nation, he's not looking to the White House, I can tell you that. You know what he's looking at? He's looking at the church house. Let me tell you right now, people may never understand it, but as Christians, we have a patriotic duty as Christians to help preserve this nation. So what are you going to do about it? Amen. What am I going to do about it? All right. All that other stuff was introduction. Here's the message. You ready for it? What are my patriotic responsibilities to the place that I love? Number one, first and foremost, live a righteous life. Amen. Let me say that again. Live a righteous life. Amen. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That word exalteth, it means to high or to raise up on high. It means to lift up. And I'll just tell you this. If our nation is to be lifted up and made high, it will only be done through righteousness. Not politics, righteousness. By the way, not from the politicians, not from the ecumenical prayer breakfasts, but I'm talking about through Christians who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and take it serious, living a righteous life. Is that not what God was looking for when Abraham was pleading for the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah? Was that not the staying factor when judgment was sure to come on the nation of Israel? Righteousness. I recently read in 2 Chronicles about a man named Josiah. Josiah, if you remember his story, very interesting about Josiah. He began to reign when he was just 8 years old. By the way, study his biography. You know what? Josiah, from a human standpoint, you know what? May not have had much of a chance because of who his father and grandfather were. His father was the wicked king Amnon, and his grandfather was even the more wickeder king named Manasseh. But yet Josiah, at a young age, got serious with God and no doubt had some people in his life who tried to point him in the right direction. And because of the life he lived, he withheld judgment for his generation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, verse chapter 34, "And as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall you say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, when thou heardest his words against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes, and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord." By the way, there's a good formula for how we as Christians can prove our love for our nation right there. Amen? Listen, I'm all about shooting guns and blowing fireworks off. I'm going to tell you that. I'll tell you right now, that doesn't prove our Christian patriotic responsibility to our nation. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for what he saw in Josiah. He's looking for Christians who'll humble themselves, who'll rend their clothes, who'll weep and have a burden for their country because of its sin. "Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place, upon the inhabitants of the same." So they brought the king word again. By the way, Josiah didn't stop the judgment, but he postponed it. And I'll just say this, folks. I'm no doomsdayer, okay? I'm a guy that's half glass, half full, not half empty. But I'm going to tell you right now, judgment is coming to this nation. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Just for the sin of abortion alone, this country's paying, amen? But you know what? I'll be honest with you. I don't want to see it in my lifetime. I don't want to see judgment. I don't want to see it in my kids' lifetime. I don't want to see it in my grandkids' future grandkids' lifetime. No one's having grandkids yet. Just saying, all right? In case you thought that was the announcement, it's not, all right? All right? No, listen to me, folks. Hey, you know what I want to do? I want to postpone it, amen? Now, I'm not God. I don't know how much time America has left before it faces the wrath of God, but I'll just say this. I don't want it to fall on my watch. Amen. I want to know that I've done everything I could to hope postpone that judgment. And you know what? I pray that we as adults would take that lead. But young people, you listen to me. If every adult in your life turns to unrighteousness, I still pray that you would be righteous for your generation. Amen. And so listen, what's our patriotic responsibility to our nation? It's to live a righteous life. Not only that, it's to protect the foundation, or it's to protect our foundations. The Bible says in Psalms 11, verse 3, makes a very strong proclamation. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Very, very, very convicting question. Amen. I mean, folks, the enemies are stacked deep, taking shots at the very thing that have upheld this nation for its short history. There comes a point in time where it's too late. And according to this verse, the lines cross when the foundations are destroyed. Now, you know what? Before we get to that point of wringing our hands and wondering what we're going to do about the destruction of the foundation, hey, let's get busy to keep the foundations from crumbling. Amen. I'm talking about the foundations of the Word of God. Amen. We need to stand on that foundation. Again, I gave you example after example earlier of how we were founded as a Christian nation, and our bedrock was the King James Holy Bible. By the way, let me say it again, not the Quran, not the Book of Mormon, but the eternal, preserved, inspired Word of God. Amen. Now listen, we got to protect the foundation of the Word of God. How do we do that? By preaching it from the pulpits, just like we are tonight. Amen. But remember, folks, it's not just a matter of what comes from here, and we ought to put it to practice in our homes. Amen. Put it to practice in our homes. We ought to proclaim its message to a lost and dying world. Hey, don't ever get tired of a pastor who keeps the pulpit hot with the fire of the Word of God. It's helping to protect the foundation. Not just the foundation of the Word of God, but we got to fight to protect the foundation of marriage. Amen. Listen, marriage isn't just an American foundation. It's the foundation of the very essence of human societies everywhere. It's the first institution God ever established. Is it no wonder the devil's determined to destroy it? Amen. I mean, right now, within the last couple of days, our House of Representatives passed legislation that God forbid, or should I say, we pray that they would, the Supreme Court would pass legislation to make homosexual marriage illegal. There, our House of Representatives passing legislation to protect that, to make it a law, so the Supreme Court can never overturn it. Again, folks, listen, it's under attack, amen? Right. By the way, if we as Christians are for marriage and want to uphold the foundation of marriage, why are all the divorces among those people who name the name of Christ? Now listen, just because you're a Christian don't mean you're automatically going to have a marriage made in heaven. Right. You know what marriage takes? Work. Let's be honest. Amen? It's not always, you know, Mike, Lynette, where you guys at? All right? Let's be honest, okay? Right now, it's all ooey-gooey. It's all lovey-dovey, all right? But I'm going to tell you what you're going to find out real soon. Marriage is work, amen? And by the way, you know what? Mike, you're going to marry here Friday night, Lord willing, besides the best sister in the world, amen? You're going to marry a sinner. Right? And Lynette, wherever you're at, I don't know. There you are. Oh, man, maybe you're already figuring it out. You guys aren't even sitting together. What is up with that? Man, Pastor Ross isn't here to give marriage counseling. Do we need to talk after the service? You know what you're going to find out, Lynette? You're marrying sinner. Amen? By the way, you know what sinners do? They sin. I'm not making excuses or justification, but we all still got to deal with the stinking wicked flesh. Amen? And I'm going to say this. Listen, the best thing we can do as Christians to protect the foundation of marriage is to have the marriage God would have for us to be. Amen? And to work hard and not give up and to follow Bible principles and have a biblical marriage. We must fight for that foundation. The foundation of the Word of God, the foundation of marriage. How about this? The foundation of freedom. The foundation of freedom. Freedom is the basis for the founding of this great nation. It's the defining factor of America that's made other people want to leave their homes to come here for a better life. That's right. And that's why people, literally, within the last couple months have died trying to get to this country. Yes, sir. You know why? Because of freedom. The things that we sometimes take for granted. Yes, sir. I'll just tell you, we got to fight for that freedom. I love the poem written by Emma Lazarus. Of course, she was an American poet who wrote this about the Statue of Liberty that was gifted our country from France. This poem is called The New Colossus. Here's what it says. Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here at our sea-washed sunset gates shall stand a mighty woman with the torch whose flame is the imprisoned lightning in her name. Mother of exiles, from her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome her mild eyes command. The air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame, keep ancient lands your storied pomp, cries she. With silent lips, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shores. Send these, the homeless tempest tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. Let me tell you, folks, what a tremendous tribute to freedom. By the way, let me define for you biblically what freedom is, okay? Freedom is not doing anything you want because you think it's right. Not freedom. Amen? That's what the sodomites, that's what the abortion crowd, that's what the Hollywood crowd, that's what the carnal Christian crowd says. Okay, but that's not what the Bible says. Listen, folks, freedom isn't just doing anything you want. You know what freedom is? Freedom is the right to not do as we want, but the opportunity to do what is right. Amen? Based upon the principles of our founding. And again, as Christians, we must fight for freedom. And by fighting, I'm not talking about going on a shooting rampage. I'm not talking about bombing abortion clinics. I'm talking about being the preserving factor of salt and light that would cause God to want to bless this nation. I'm talking about being the Christian that God wants for us to be. I'm talking about our private lives. Amen? For I believe every time a Christian impacts this world for Jesus Christ, he's helping to shore up and protect the very foundation of freedom on which we are founded. So what are our patriotic responsibilities to our nation? Number one is to live a righteous life. Number two is to fight to protect our foundations. And then last of all, let me give you this. We need to be involved with our leaders. Involved with our leaders. Listen, as Christians, the Bible tells us we have responsibilities to those that rule over us. Amen? The Bible says it. I didn't write it. God did. All right? What's the Bible say we ought to be doing? Number one, we ought to be praying for them. 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. All right, here's a convicting fair question for all of us. When's the last time you prayed for our leadership? Right. Now, you know what we pray? Here's what we pray. Here's what I pray. Amen? Here's the first and foremost. I pray, God, if they're not saved, please save them. And by the way, we have a lot of leadership that's not saved. Yes, sir. Amen? And I pray that God would save them. And here's my second prayer. God, if they're not going to rule according to your word and rule in a way that is righteous, remove them from office. Amen. By the way, this church has been responsible for a prayer for prayers that's had that happen. Amen? Wicked leadership, not standing for what they said they were going to stand for. And all of a sudden, a bunch of Christians get together. Some men of God go to the state house and put the pressure. By the way, it's our house. Amen? All right? It's not their house. It's our house. Belongs to the people. And we go there. And you know what? We encourage them for stand for right. And if they won't, then we pray just that. God, remove them from office. If they're not going to do what they said they would do, remove them. By the way, God hears those prayers. Amen? All right, we're to pray for our leaders. By the way, let me just say this, all right? Don't fall for the lie that we don't have some good leadership. We do. Amen? Again, I've been there. I've talked to them. There's a lot of born-again Christians on Capitol Hill. There's a lot of born-again Christians here in the state of Indiana. Now, do we get frustrated with some things that go on? Absolutely. Amen? And but we need to be praying for them. Pray that those that are godly, those that are saved, would have the courage to stand for what's right. Unless you've ever been there and faced the pressure, you have no idea. Amen? So we're to pray for our leadership. Not only that, the Bible says we're to honor them. Romans 13:7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And by the way, it's not always easy to honor the person, but we can honor the position. Amen? And that's why, again, folks, listen, we have our problems, yes. Okay? I don't think anybody in this room would not want to, would wish for America better leadership. But you know what? For some reason, God allowed them to be there. Okay? God, by the way, God's the one that decided that, not the American people. I got news for you. By the way, whether it was done right or it was done wrong, either way, God decided he was going to be the leader. That's what the scripture says. Amen? Do we believe the Bible or do we not believe the Bible? Amen? So let's honor that position. And then last of all, because we're Americans, thank God for the ability to be able to elect them. Amen. Now listen, I get it, okay? I'm not campaigning and I'm not doing anything, but I will say this. It is important that we be reminded of our patriotic duty to vote. They tell us that evangelicals make up 35% of the voting block. That's the largest voting block of any other group in the country. And if we would just get out and supposedly vote what we say we believe, then the right people would be in office. Amen? And by the way, don't gripe if you don't vote. Get out and vote. You know how easy it is to register to vote? And I can't believe how many people just blow off their patriotic responsibility to vote. Oh, I forgot. Oh, they make it so convenient to vote. Literally, you can vote early. That's what I do. Because I'm usually, I don't want to go stand in line on election day. So I'll go vote early. Listen, folks, you can do it. We ought to be doing it. Amen? Let me just remind us of something as we wind this thing down. This is our country as Americans. God has allowed us to be born here and live here. And listen, we can't afford to sit on the sidelines and watch America go to hell in a handbasket and do nothing about it. By the way, the devil and his crowd are busy doing something about it, are they not? By the way, if they have a loud voice, why isn't our voice louder? What are we afraid of? This is our country. Amen. By the way, Christians were here first. Right? Why are we giving up on this thing? Why are we not trying to fight for what we ought to be fighting for? They're busy destroying. We ought to be busy fighting and protecting. Now, again, how do we do that? We do that by being the Christian American patriot God wants for us to be. Amen? And be part of the preserving factor that God can look at to preserve a nation. And by the way, not part of the judging factor that God would have to look at to judge a nation. Amen? Yeah. Every single one of us are important to our country. Yeah. And again, folks, listen, I understand, first and foremost, our allegiance is to heaven. Amen? Yes, sir. We are citizens of heaven. Our King is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. First and foremost, amen? Unashamedly, He's who we bow to. But I will say this, God has allowed us to live in this great country, amen? And by the way, to whomsoever much is given, much is required, amen? And God was pretty interested with His people, the way they lived, whether or not He could bring blessing or judgment upon their nation. Do you not think it's the same for ours? Amen? So how about it, church? Do you still love America? I know I do. Let's pray. Lord, we love You tonight. Thank You for the Word of God, very simple truth. Lord, I pray that we take these things to heart. And Lord, I guess the most practical part of this message, Lord, is what it is that we can do as Christians. And Lord, that is first and foremost, God, to be the righteous remnant that You could look at to bless a nation. Lord, that You could look at to be the preserving factor. Just as You looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, God, You look at America. And Lord, I don't know what the number is in America that You look at when the scale tips from mercy to judgment. But Lord, help us to weigh on that scale, Lord, on the right side of things. Bless us, we pray. Bless our invitation time. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.